Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
The new Ping G425 series. The G425 drivers have the highest MOI and is the most forgiving driver in golf. Increase your swing and ball speed with proven Ping innovations with three models to fit all golfers. Swing by Edwin Watts Golf Shops and get custom fit today. Edwin Watts Golf Shops, home of the 90-day satisfaction guarantee, and shop us online at worldwidegolfshops.com.
We've all dealt with the headache of windshield damage. Small cracks become big cracks, two cracks become four cracks. The next thing you know, cracks are all you see. Then comes the fun part. Where do I go to get it fixed? The answer? Nowhere. They came to me. I called the folks at Eden Auto Glass. They gave me the best in quality windshield repair, a killer quote, and they fixed me up that day. They even took care of the window tint that I've been meaning to install. Look them up at EdenAutoGlass.com. Do what I did. Get your free quote and let them see your crack. That's EdenAutoGlass.com.
92.9 FM ESPN presents the area's only national columnist who spends his afternoons bringing unique perspective to Memphis radio. He'll make you think. He'll make you laugh. He'll sometimes make you change the station if children are around. And he apologizes in advance for that. It's 4 o'clock. Let's get into it. This is the Gary Parish Show.
All right. I'm here. My name is Gary Parish speaking to you. From Memphis, Tennessee, Benadol's producing the program. Glad he's with me. Glad you're with me. Hope you're getting through the day best you can.
Her daddy lost most everything. On horse, whiskey, and wedding rings.
I hope to God you didn't listen to me at any point last week when I said I just could not imagine a quarterback born in the same year that I was born winning a Super Bowl in the year 2021 against the greatest quarterback in the world currently, because I could not have been more incorrect. Not only did Tampa Bay and Tom Brady win the Super Bowl, they won it in a blowout. We'll talk about it momentarily, and yes, we'll get to the weekend's halftime show. First, though, quickly, let me set this afternoon's schedule for you. 4:20, Drew Hill, he's going to join me. Covers the Grizzlies for the Daily Memphian. That's our NBA franchise. They are on a three-game losing streak heading into tonight's game with the Raptors. What's the problem with the team? What's the problem with John Morant? I'll ask Drew Hill right around 4:20. When I finish that, I'll take a break, come back, do four notable stories, 4:44, at which point I will discuss four previously undiscussed stories. Among them, the Tigers extended their winning streak to three games Saturday with a 66-59 victory over East Carolina. It wasn't pretty, but it wasn't a loss, and that's the most important thing big picture right now. Memphis now has its third three-game winning streak of the season. Will it become the Tigers' first four-game winning streak later this week? We'll talk about it around 4:44. Rick Barnes, Tennessee Vols, ran away from Kentucky in the second half on Saturday night. So John Calipari's Wildcats are now 5-12 overall, 4-6 in the SEC, 3-12 in the first two quadrants. Kentucky about to have its first losing season since 1989, which was Eddie Sutton's final year in Lexington. Tell you more about that a little later on this hour. The Kansas Jayhawks are not ranked in the Associated Press Top 25 poll today for the first time since February 1st, 2009. So that's wild on a couple of different levels. I'll tell you more about it just before 5 o'clock. And rest in peace, Lou Heel. The Texas Rio Grande Valley head coach died yesterday, one day after coaching a college basketball game. He was only 55 years old. Just an awful story. I'll tell you what I know during four notable stories at 444. We'll talk nothing but college basketball during four notable stories at 444. 5 o'clock, Jeff Calkins, just like always. Then I will eventually do dinner to go and get on out of here. So that's the rundown. We got a lot to get to, but I wanted to start with the 55th Super Bowl. It was played last night down in Tampa in front of an estimated 25,000 fans and another 30,000 cutouts, which, by the way, is the way to do this during a global pandemic. Put pods of fans in seats, keep them distanced from other pods with cardboard cutouts in between. Then everybody is safe, and on television, it basically looks like a full stadium. In fact, like today, just to make sure I wasn't seeing it wrong last night, I went to YouTube and just sort of looked at, you know, highlights from last night's Super Bowl. And on those glancing shots, like, you know, here's Brady taking a shot downfield, and the ball's in the air, so the camera has to go up, and you see the crowd. It almost looks like a normal crowd. Like, it just, it looks normal if you're not looking really, really close. So I thought the setup was great. The game, not so much. Final score, Tampa Bay 31, Kansas City 9. So Tom Brady, who will turn 44 years old in August, now has 7 Super Bowl rings as a starting quarterback. That's more than any NFL franchise. The breakdown goes like this. Tom Brady has 7 Super Bowls. The Patriots and Steelers, as franchises, have 6 each. The Cowboys and 49ers, 5 each. Packers and Giants, 4 each. There have been 55 Super Bowls in history. Tom Brady has been in the NFL for 21 of them. He's won 7. So he's won 33.3% of the Super Bowls since he's been in the NFL, and he's won 12.7% of all of the Super Bowls in the history of the world, which is just bananas. Tom Brady, first player to win a Super Bowl in 3 different decades. He was 21 of 29 for 201 yards, 3 touchdowns. He threw 2 to Gronk. He threw 1 to Antonio Brown. So every Tampa Bay passing touchdown was a hookup between former New England Patriots. Meantime, Patrick Mahomes, he was just chased all over the field. Offense line was trash, and the Chiefs didn't even score a touchdown for the first time ever with Patrick Mahomes at quarterback. Big Bet Bennett, I believe you told us wisely last week that you were playing the Bucks plus 3 this weekend. Is that ultimately what you settled on? And if so, how much fun was that Super Bowl for you?
It was a lot of fun, GP. I actually, you know, the final score, I think it was what, 31-9?
Correct.
And I said on Friday, 31-27 Buccaneers. So I lost that bet. I bet that final score. But yeah, went with Bucks plus 3. Felt pretty good about it.
I had said all last week I was going to lay the points with Kansas City. I ultimately did not do that because I decided, and the way I typically gamble, and I'm not pretending this is wise. In fact, I'm telling you it's not. I'm not recommending that you should try it at home. But I figure I don't know one way or another. Like, you know, like most people don't know one way or another. Even the people who pretend they know one way or another. So I'm just like, what would I enjoy watching most? What would I like to see when this game is unfolding? And what I decided is that if I could have it unfold any possible way, what I would like to see is a shootout between Tom Brady and Patrick Mahomes. Like, give me a situation where Tom Brady and Patrick Mahomes are going back and forth, up and down the field, back and forth, up and down the field. And so I decided to go over Tampa Bay, over Kansas City, over total for the game, and that worked out okay on the Tampa Bay side of things, not so much on the Kansas City side of things, not so much on the game side of things, but I didn't actually play the Chiefs. At least playing the totals, playing the overs, you had a shot. You know, it became clear it wasn't going to work out, but like, you were kind of in it, you know, at least in the third quarter, early in the fourth.
Right.
And so, you know, if you'd have been playing the Chiefs, it got out of hand pretty quickly for you. So I at least had a shot, but I certainly didn't come out as well as Big Bet Bennett and anybody else on Tampa Bay. I didn't come out as well as they came out. I think in hindsight, I failed to properly grasp how terrible Kansas City's offensive line would be. Only one starter,
dude,
from the Chiefs' opening day starting offensive line played last night in the Super Bowl. They were down both starting tackles after Eric Fisher tore his Achilles in the AFC title game, and the result was relentless and constant pressure on Patrick Mahomes. This dude would take a snap and just start running. He would take a snap and just start running backwards, just start running for his life. He faced real pressure last night. I saw this stat. 38 times. 38 times Patrick Mahomes was under real pressure. Tom Brady was only pressured 5 times the entire game. And that's the game in a nutshell. Tom Brady wasn't the reason, really, Tampa Bay won, although he was obviously terrific. And Patrick Mahomes wasn't the reason Kansas City lost, not even close. Often analysts say, you hear it all the time, that a game was won at the line or in the trenches. You don't even have to know much about football to know that that was the case last night. It was clear as day, easy to see, from the opening snap to the very last. Patrick Mahomes had no time and, by extension, no chance. Check this other stat I saw last night. Mahomes ran. This is insane. Patrick Mahomes, and I have no context for this because this isn't the type of stat I would normally follow, but it'll be obvious how unusual it is. Patrick Mahomes ran last night a total of 497 yards before his passes or sacks. Like, take a snap, and on plays where he either threw the ball or was sacked, he ran 497 yards before he was either sacked or got the ball out of his hand. It was the most pre-throw / pre-snap yards run by any quarterback in any game this season.
And a lot of those are backwards, obviously.
Yes, he was running backwards a lot. And it wasn't just because he was running backwards recklessly or irresponsibly.
No.
He was dropping back, and then when he would step up to try, it just there's no they're right there.
They're so right there. Yep.
The only thing to do at that point is to try to run away from them, and the most natural place to go is backwards to try to buy yourself more time. And he was often very good at that. You know, he was still only sacked, I believe, 3 times. So he was pretty good at getting away from him and actually getting the ball out of his hand. And then, like, his receivers just could not make plays. He finished 26 of 49 for 270 yards, 0 touchdowns, 3 interceptions, 3 sacks that lost 27 yards. His line could not block. His receivers could not catch. It was a long, long night for last year's Super Bowl MVP. So Patrick Mahomes is now 1-1 in Super Bowls. He'll be back, I'm certain. But this one will likely eat at him for a while, perhaps forever. The weekend was the halftime show. Big Bet Bennett, what'd you think?
Oh, I thought it was really good. I know that, like, it's controversial, to say the least. Like, I saw a lot of people that did not like it. I thought he was good. I'm a big fan. My kid loves The Weeknd. Like, I like him.
It was fine.
I thought that it looked cool. I actually did think that, like, the theatrics that he got with, like, the guy, especially in the beginning, like, he had the people behind him and the lights and everything. I thought that was cool. I liked it. I thought it was original. I liked the little mirror scene that you're seeing all the memes of today and everything. And I think that he just has a bunch of hits at this point. Like, I knew the words to every song. Like, I liked it.
I thought it was fine. There was a lot of contrasting opinions on Twitter.
For sure.
Like, young people, for the most part, seem to like it or be indifferent to it. And old people mostly seem to hate it.
Mm-hmm.
Me, I thought it was fine. It wasn't Prince or Beyonce or even Bruno Mars, but it was fine. Like, my buddy Dan Walken tweeted that The Weeknd must be the least talented Super Bowl halftime performer in history.
No. And
Well, dude, Maroon 5 was 2 years ago. What are we talking about?
And, like, no offense to, like, our own, like, Justin Timberlake, but, like, dude, when it was, like, NSYNC, Britney Spears, stuff like that, like, give me a break. I mean, well, come on. He has more talent. Like,
I mean, at the very least, he can sing. Like,
yeah.
I went through it, the list of Super Bowl performers earlier today. 2 years ago, it was Maroon 5. The Black Eyed Peas were 2011.
Yeah, I mean, come on. That's...
Shania Twain and No Doubt was 2002. Boys to Men were 1998. Clint Black, Tanya Tucker, Travis Tritt, and the Judds were 1994. New Kids on the Block were 1991. The idea that The Weeknd was some bottom-of-the-barrel Super Bowl option is just crazy. Like, he's not my favorite, but the dude has sold, like, more than 75 million records in the past 8 years.
You know,
he's won 3 Grammys, 5 American Music Awards.
Yeah, and I gauge these things by how often we play this artist on FM 100. Dude, we probably play The Weeknd every hour. Like, he is one of our top rotating artists at all times. He's a huge star.
Well, last year, Blinding Lights, which is like his probably his biggest hit.
Yes.
It spent more consecutive weeks in the top 10 of Billboard's Hot 100 list than literally any song in history.
Yeah, I mean, that was like the biggest song of the year last year by far. So, yeah, I mean, I don't want to hear that about him not being a big deal. He's clearly a big deal.
He's a star. Any way you cut it, he's a star. Like I said, if nothing else, he can sing. So I thought he was fine. And it reminded me of something that I actually figured out a long time ago as an aging man.
Mm-hmm.
And that's that old people critiquing modern music is largely a waste of time. It is mostly something to be ignored. Like I tweeted last night, if you're old, when a big current artist is performing on television, it's best to either compliment them or just keep quiet. Otherwise, you just sound exactly as old and ridiculous as you thought old people sounded 25 years ago.
100%.
Like, if you're old, you probably don't listen to The Weeknd, so you probably don't know the songs. And there are very few people who can blow you away on that Super Bowl stage if you don't know the songs. Mm-hmm. Like, the list of folks who are such great entertainers that you can see it and respect it and feel it, even if you've never seen them before, that list is pretty short. Like, Prince is on it, or was on it. You don't have to know Prince or even like Prince to watch Prince at the Super Bowl and be wild. He's the GOAT Super Bowl performer still. Beyonce is on that list. Bruno Mars is probably on that list. Lady Gaga might be on that list. But the list is short. So if you hated The Weeknd last night, that's probably why. You're either old or unfamiliar with his work. And when I touched on this last night, I had some other people say, yeah, maybe, but the real problem is they don't make good music anymore. They just don't make good music anymore. I cannot overstate how much I hate it when people say dumb stuff like, they don't make good music anymore. Do you realize it's the same thing, if you're my age or older, it's the same thing your parents used to say.
Oh, and
the same things their parents used to say. Every generation thinks the next generation doesn't make great music anymore. Every generation. Mm-hmm. And it's always wrong. It's always been wrong. Like, I was in high school, college, from, you know, in the 90s. I was in high school and college in the 90s. Most people in the 40s were. The best-selling album in 1992 belonged to Billy Ray Cyrus. In 1995, year I graduated high school, best-selling album belonged to Hootie and the Blowfish.
Oh, yeah.
In 1997, my sophomore year of college, best-selling record, Spice Girls. In 1999, my senior year of college, best-selling album belonged to the Backstreet Boys.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we grew up with.
Mm-hmm.
And now you got a bunch of people my age and older out there talking about how music is so much worse these days. I mean, what?
Right.
What? Here's the truth about people and their respect or love for music. Here's the truth. Most people fall in love with artists or albums or songs from the ages of 12 to 22.
Mm-hmm.
And then they forever think that was the best music ever
made.
Yeah,
you want your era to be the best era of music.
It's just,
right.
I don't even know it's consciously, that it's a conscious thing. Like, you, well, I want to rep for my childhood. It's just that you latch on to that stuff, mm-hmm. and then you're like, that's what I listened to in those formative years. That's the music that I still listen. Lots of people, this is why classic rock stations would do well and oldie stations would do well, because people like listening to the stuff they grew up with, mm-hmm. because for whatever reason they latched onto it in those formative years. So people always think like that was the best music, whatever you grew up listening to, that was the best music. And then you get 40 and you think all the new stuff sucks, but that's just never been true. And it's still not true. I mean, I will always have a special place in my heart for, I don't know, Guns N' Roses and Pearl Jam and Counting Crows and the Beatles and Stones and Radiohead and the Black Crows and Kanye West and Blind Melon and Prince and Jay-Z and Alice in Chains and Nine Inch Nails and Willie Nelson and David Bowie and any other artist I either grew up listening to or started listening to when I was in my early 20s. But I'm not silly enough to believe all of that good music was made once upon a time, and now there's just no good music anymore. There's still great music being made right now. It's just not being made, for the most part, by big rock bands anymore. But it is being made. It's being made by Taylor Swift and Lil Baby and Sturgill Simpson and Phoebe Bridgers and Run the Jewels and Dua Lipa and Lil Uzi Vert. And yes, also by The Weeknd. So if you're old like me, give the new stuff an honest shot every once in a while. You might dig some of it.
I like that.
And more to the point, it might prevent you from sounding old on Twitter next Super Bowl. I'll talk more about it with Jeff Calkins around 5 o'clock, but up next, Drew Hill covers the Grizzlies for the Daily Memphian. What's wrong with our NBA franchise? Why is Ja Morant struggling? I'll ask Drew Hill both of those questions next. You listen to the Gary Parrish Show. We're on 92.9 FM ESPN.
This is Gary Parrish, and I've been telling you about Stack's Pancake Kitchen for years. Now I'm doing it again and letting you know that Stack's is now open for dine-in, curbside pickup, and delivery. So you know where to go if you want a great meal, especially a great breakfast. Everything is terrific, but if you're looking for my favorite item on the menu, it's the now-famous Stack's Breakfast Burger. Go get it. You'll love it. Then you'll get it again. Stack's has two locations. One is at 4615 Poplar in East Memphis. The other, 7704 Poplar in Germantown. You can check the menu online at stackspancakes.com. That's Stack's Pancake Kitchen, coming soon to South Haven.
Hockey and basketball fans love scoring in nets, but what else do they have in common? A chance for an easy 100 from BetMGM. Register for the King of Sportsbooks and win $100 in free bets when you place a $1 moneyline wager on the Grizzlies and Raptors game, and if the team you bet on hits a three, you'll win. Simply sign up using bonus code WRIGHT100, WRIGHT100, when you make your first bet to take advantage of this offer. Maybe you have more in common with table tennis fans. No matter your sport, BetMGM is where the stakes are always raised. Enjoy innovative parlay selection features, boosted odds specials, daily promotions, and more. Download the app or go to BetMGM.com and use bonus code WRIGHT100 to win $100 in free bets when you wager $1 on either the Grizzlies or the Raptors to hit a three. You must be 21 years or older, and you must be present in Tennessee. Visit BetMGM.com for full list of terms and conditions. For problem gambling support, call the Tennessee Red Line at 800-889-9789.
Hey, it's Eric Hasseltine from the Memphis Grizzlies here to tell you about the best place to get a pre-owned vehicle in the entire Mid-South, and that is DeSoto Auto Sales. You can visit them on the web at DeSotoAutoSales.com or simply head on over to 5704 Goodman Road in Olive Branch. Why DeSoto Auto Sales, you say? Well, their prices are fantastic. They've got over 250 cars on the lot, and they range in price from $8,000 to $30,000. Most of these cars are still under their factory warranty, so you're getting a great vehicle. They've been inspected 5 times before they hit the lot. And it's their selection. The lot is always changing. They're trying to get them out of there at the best price possible for their customers so they can clear the lot for more vehicles to come. Trucks, vans, sedans, SUVs, and they can finance you on the spot. They've got financing managers to explain all of your options. It's all there at DeSoto Auto Sales. You can see the entire selection at DeSotoAutoSales.com. Get a great car at a great price. What are you waiting for? Go to DeSotoAutoSales.com or hop on down to 5704 Goodman Road in Olive Branch and visit DeSoto Auto Sales today.
NBA veteran J.J. Redick has seen it all in his more than 14 years in the league. Now on the Old Man and the Three podcast, Redick and co-host Tommy Alter bring listeners a behind-the-scenes look inside the NBA and beyond. Listen free on Radio.com, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your shows.
I struggled with symptoms like frequent gas and stomach pain for years.
I was bloated all the time with daily diarrhea.
At first, I thought it was what I was eating.
I kept thinking it was stomach issues.
So I did my research and talked to my doctor, and we finally uncovered the truth.
It was actually EPI.
Exocrine pancreatic insufficiency, or EPI, is a condition where your pancreas is unable to help break down your food.
It can lead to symptoms like diarrhea, gas, bloating, stomach pain, unexplained weight loss, and oily stools.
And EPI symptoms can be confused with those of other common digestive conditions, like irritable bowel syndrome, Crohn's, and celiac disease.
So getting to the right diagnosis meant being more open with my doctor about the severity of my symptoms and how often they were happening.
But there's good news. EPI is manageable, so don't wait any longer. Use the symptom checker at identifyepi.com and schedule a visit or call with your doctor to ask,
Could I have EPI? Sponsored by AbbVie.
This season's hottest collection is dropping to a dinner table near you. Meet the new Golden Standard, Church's new Texas Tenders, accessorized with butterfly shrimp. Snag your Texas Tenders and shrimp meal for just $5. Church's bringing that down-home flavor. Offer valid at participating locations.
Okay, we've got Rick here, a veteran in the league who's gone 0-2 the past Valentine's days. Do you think he can pull off a win this year?
I always like an underdog, Bob, but I'm not sure about this guy.
He's passing aisle three, picks up a bag of wings, he dodges the produce section.
But will he pick up the heart-shaped box?
Heading toward the candy aisle. He's picking up speed. Oh, no, he chokes and heads straight to the checkout.
Unbelievable. This close to Valentine's Day.
Don't be a Rick. Make happy this Valentine's Day with a heart-shaped box of Russell Stover chocolates.
Guests appear on the Smile Center Hotline. Now, back to the Gary Parrish Show on 92.9 FM ESPN.
Stretch my hands to you.
Life like, this is what your life like. Try to live your life right. People really know you push your buttons like type right. This is like a movie, but it's really very lifelike. Every single night, right? Every single fight, right? I was looking at the gram and I don't even like lights. I was screaming at my daddy, told me it ain't Christ-like. I was screaming at
the... You look for the biggest brands in computers. The place to look is Cooper Systems over in the Mount Moriah office park. They got big brands like Dell, HP, Lenovo, Asus, Apple. Yes, Apple. You can get Apple products at Cooper Systems. Might be easier to get into Cooper Systems than it is an Apple store right now. So if you're looking for Apple products, make sure to look at Cooper Systems in the Mount Moriah office park. They got big savings on the biggest names in computers. Give them a call, 360-9679, 360-9679. Talk to Lee Cooper, Lauren Cooper, any of the consultants at Cooper Systems. Tell them what it is you're going to be doing with the computer. Like, are you making videos, or are you just playing around on YouTube and Facebook? Are you a gamer, or are you just, again, emailing people every once in a while? Those are two different kinds of computers. If you're just playing around on YouTube and Facebook, you don't need to spend $2,000 on a computer. Get a computer that's perfectly suited for you, that can do everything you need it to do and nothing more. Then it's going to be better price for you. If it's better price for you, you're saving money at Cooper Systems. 360-9679. They're on the web, coopersystems.com. The Tigers extended their winning streak to 3 games over the weekend. Victory over East Carolina. Cincinnati coming to FedEx Forum on Thursday. We'll talk college basketball in the next segment, but right now, he covers the Memphis Grizzlies for the Daily Memphian. His name's Drew Hill. Make him the big interview.
Award-winning writers, athletes, coaches, the biggest names in sports. It's the Gary Parrish Show Big Interview. Presented by Fleming's Prime Steakhouse and Wine Bar. Using food and wine to create memorable times.
So, Drew, the Grizzlies were on a 7-game winning streak, and we were planning a championship parade down Bill Street. Now, ever since I planned the parade, they were on a 3-game losing streak. What has happened from your perspective?
Oh, I mean, I think there's a lot to take into the equation, but I actually mentioned in one of my game stories, I believe it was the first loss of this thing, I noted your parade. I said, don't make the championship parade plans just yet, that you can hold off on that for a little bit. But no, I mean, honestly, the biggest part of this 3-game losing streak and the talking point, which I'm sure we're going to get to, has been that Ja Morant has not been terrific, especially in the last 2 games. And they essentially chalked the 2 games against Houston and Indiana up as, we just didn't have it tonight. When you play a 72-game season or more during a regular season, there's going to be roughly a few games where you have it, and there's going to be some games where it looks like you never had a chance to lose because you come out on fire. And in the case of the Indiana game, they showed up at 4 a.m. from that San Antonio road trip. they were exhausted. They were ready to just kind of get that game over with. You could kind of tell in the pregame. So I don't think they had great expectations there. Houston was a game where you think that they would probably rebound against a team that's similar in positioning in the West, and just didn't have it that night either. And then in New Orleans, you're in it for three quarters. You go cold in the fourth, but at least you competed. But for now, the story remains Ja Morant, and his struggles have sort of set the team back in the last few games. I don't worry about Ja Morant long term, but that has been definitely the biggest talking point.
I also do not worry about Ja Morant long term, but you know, we don't have to lie to each other, and I don't think Ja would disagree with this. He's not been good lately, and especially not good from the three-point line. He's never been a great shooter. Nobody's ever described him that way, but he was mostly respectable for much of the season last season. These past few games against New Orleans, 1 of 5 from three, Houston 1 of 5, Pacers 0 of 1, Spurs 1 of 1, Spurs before that 1 of 5, Suns before that 1 of 2, Sixers before that 0 of 3. The Brooklyn game where he got hurt, he was 0 of 0 when he left the game. Before that, Atlanta 2 of 7. He is shooting 25.8% from three. I do think he's a better shooter than that, but that is what he's shooting this season. And I don't think it's a stretch to suggest that complicates everything else for him, because basketball is not that complex. If you've got an opposing lead guard who is missing 3 out of every 4 shots he takes from the perimeter, you're going to start playing off of him. And when you play off of somebody like Ja Morant, it makes everything more difficult for him and by extension his teammates.
Yeah, the three-point shooting is definitely you don't expect that he'll shoot 25% the rest of the year. You think that old number will get at least closer to 30%. Last year he was above 30%. I think he was close to 35% or something like that.
It was 33.5 from three on the season.
Okay, so yeah, you expect that number will probably creep up towards that. He also hasn't been using his floater as much since he came back from the ankle injury. Chris Harrington wrote about that this morning in the Daily Memphian. It was a great article. You should go read it if you haven't. He hasn't used the floater as much. And I also think that some of these struggles are also the result of other players just not playing very well. Dylan Brooks in particular is one that, you know, when he's not making threes, when he can't take some of the pressure off Ja, these other teams are just blitzing every single one of these ball screens now and blowing it up at the top of the, you know, the second they come set a screen for Ja, they don't even worry about anybody else. They're just trying to get the ball out of his hands, and Ja's doing his best to try and counter that and make the quick pass, make the quick decision to try and get somebody else an open shot. But the truth is, whenever other guys aren't making shots, then the team is going to struggle. And that's just, you see that tends to be the case, and that was the case in the fourth quarter of the New Orleans game. They're blitzing every one of these ball screens, blowing up the play. Ja's getting the ball out of his hands, making the smart play by passing to his teammates, but he's not getting any help. So I think it's a combination of a lot of different things, but that is something that the Grizzlies are 100% going to have to address, because all of these teams now are starting to do this, and he has really struggled in not making those decisions, but finding ways to be productive otherwise when teams take away those opportunities for him. And you can guarantee that tonight Toronto will do the exact same thing, because it's been effective in 3 straight games now.
Talking to Drew Hill from the Daily Memphian. You brought up Dylan Brooks. I'm glad you did, because I wanted to ask you about him. He is, you know, on his contract extension that was signed, I guess, last year, he is now taking more shots than he's ever taken. Some of that is because the Grizz are shorthanded, I assume, but he's averaging 15.4 field goal attempts per game. He's shooting 37.5% from the field. That's a career low. He's shooting 28.4% from three. That's a career low. His player efficiency rating is now 9.80. That is abysmal. What do you make of Dylan Brooks' fourth year with the Grizzlies, which at this moment is, you could reasonably say, his worst as an important piece of this franchise?
Yeah, I would say that his value is on the decline, or at least based on the way he's performed since his new contract. And you do have to ask whether or not you think he'll be a piece of this team long term, and or if they can move on from him because they have other guys at that position. De'Anthony Melton and Desmond Bane are two players who both have been productive and are having good seasons as well. It's a tough question to ask, and that's why Zach Lyman's going to makes the big bucks and makes these decisions, because figuring out what to do with Dylan Brooks is quite perplexing, especially when it's a guy that was trending upward so well. And I remember the day that deal happened last year in February, I was excited about it. I thought everybody else around the city was like pretty pumped that they were able to sign Dylan and get him 3 years at what everybody thought was a pretty good price. And now, you know, since he started these shooting struggles, and he really hasn't been able to break them. That includes the bubble and now. And entering the season, he seemed like he was hyper aware of, I need to be a better distributor. I need to pass the ball better. I need to find teammates, because the shot selection in the bubble was very questionable. And he's done that to a degree. His assist numbers are up. He is passing and finding his teammates more often. But it still feels like he's taking too many shots, and it still feels like he's forcing the ball in late-game situations. He missed a few layups in that New Orleans game that proved to be pretty costly. And so with him, you just hope that maybe when Jaren comes back and some of these other guys back who are going to take more shots, maybe he changes his ways and passes the ball more and goes back to that the way that he was at the beginning of the season, hyper-aware about needing to be a better distributor. Or maybe the habits are just pretty hard to break. So it's going to be tough to figure out what you're going to do with Dylan Brooks long term. But he has shown that he can score in this league at a high level. He did that. There's a reason he got the contract extension. But we haven't seen that in a long time now. And so it's getting pretty concerning that Dylan is still shooting the ball not so hot.
Some professional athletes are capable of compartmentalizing very, very well. For instance, the late Kobe Bryant was once, going through a sexual assault trial and then flying back to LA and, you know, dropping 45 points on basketball teams, like, in the same day. I bring that up because I don't even know that any of this is mainstream news, like stuff that you would report on, but you don't have to live on the internet or do too many Google searches to conclude that there's a lot going on in Dylan Brooks' personal life. I won't ask you whether you think that has played a role, because there's no way for you to know. But do you have any sense for whether the franchise is concerned about things that have apparently gone on in his personal life that paint a pretty complicated picture?
I don't know if I know the answer to that. And I'm just being completely honest.
Sure.
Like I don't know exactly how they would feel about that. I haven't had those discussions with people. But what I would say is, again, with Dylan, he's a guy that has the most confidence in the world in himself. It's unbelievable. He throws himself into the conversation with the team stars every time he talks about the team, and that's what you want. You want a guy with such high confidence, but you do have to ask eventually whether, I think this applies in a lot of things in life, whether that confidence can get too high and you're hurting yourself and other people. And I just wonder, like, I do wonder if that attitude is part of the reason why he's struggling. And I also wonder what he thinks, because let's be honest, the Grizzlies fans and people around this team are really hard on him. And he deserves some of the criticism, I suppose, because he hasn't played well. But at the same time, I think it can be overblown to a degree. And so you just wonder what he's thinking when he's not in front of a camera answering those questions. And you wonder how much he sees on a daily basis of people telling Dylan Brooks that he's playing badly, when I'm sure he already knows that.
Oh, I'm in a group text with Grizzlies fans and, a handful of them. And about every other game, somebody asks me or some other media member in the group text, is there any chance Dylan Brooks gets moved before the trade deadline? Like people are fired up. So let me ask you, I mean, do you think that's even on the table? The trade deadline is, I think, March 25th. I know it's next month. Do you think it's realistic to think the Grizzlies could decide to try to move on before then?
I think I wouldn't say anything is off the table at this point. especially given that this front office is looking down the road and they're not really as concerned about right now. I think that's evident in the fact that they're happy letting two of their star players, if you want to call Justice Winslow a star, take their time on these injury recoveries. Like, they're thinking down the line. They're not thinking right now. So I don't think that anything is off the table. But at the same time, I just don't know if trading Dylan Brooks right now, when his value seems to be at the lowest point, would make much sense. You know, right now, Dylan Brooks' value is much lower than it was a year ago when they signed him to this deal, obviously. So I just don't know if the timing makes sense for the Grizzlies. I guess you want him to improve and play a little bit better and get his value up if you think that moving him is the best long-term solution. So timing-wise, I just don't know about that.
Talking to Drew Hill from the Daily Memphian. He's on Twitter at @DrewHill_DM. Jonas Valanciunas missed an extended period of time because of COVID-19. He is now back in New Orleans. He had 23.7 rebounds. He was 9 of 11 from the field. What did you make of his performance on Saturday night?
I thought he was great, and I think he's very important to this team, and you kind of noticed that. It doesn't take away from what Xavier Tillman has been able to do, and Gorgui Dieng has been great in that role as the backup coming off the bench. And it looked like Gorgui might fall out of the rotation around Martin Luther King Day because he had a couple DNPs, and then all of a sudden he plays so well it feels like he has to be out there. But I think adding Jonas back is obviously a huge, huge piece. He accounts for over 28% of their defensive rebounds when he's on the floor. So obviously he's really important from that aspect. And also he's been great with Ja. Again, going back to Chris Harrington's piece he wrote this morning, I saw that he noted that the two of them, that Jonas and Ja together accounted for, I want to say the second most plays among the Grizzlies last year, the two of them together as a combo versus other combos on the team. And so getting him back should help Ja hopefully get out of this funk and play well. I would not be surprised if Ja comes out and plays really well tonight the way that he is. But yeah, adding JV back is a huge piece to this team, and I'm sure that they're really thrilled that they can get him back, especially from a rebounding standpoint.
I'm wrapping
because
up.
They needed him. They needed him in that game against New Orleans.
I'm wrapping up here with Drew Hill from the Daily Memphian. Back in FedEx Forum tonight, the Raptors are in town. Brandon Clark going to miss his second straight game. De'Anthony Melton also out after injuring what appeared to be a shoulder on Saturday. How much tougher does that make things against these Raptors?
It makes it tougher. You can kind of see without Brandon Clark, you're losing an offensive chunk and an offensive rebounding chunk that you really needed. So I think it makes it a lot tougher. You just got to hope that the other guys who are maybe more shooters on the wing that are not De'Anthony Melton, the Grayson Allens and Desmond Baines, shoot it well today, because the guy that can kind of give you everything, the all-around game, is not going to be available. So you hope that those shooters are on point tonight and give you a better chance to win.
That is Drew Hill from the Daily Memphian. Make sure you're reading him, dailymemphian.com. You're following him on Twitter. He'll be following tonight, @DrewHill_DM. That's @DrewHill_DM. I always appreciate your time, buddy. Thank you so much for being here.
Yep, thanks, Gary.
All right, that's Drew Hill from the Daily Memphian. When we come back, the Tigers extended their winning streak to three games on Saturday with a victory over East Carolina. It's the third three-game winning streak of the season. Now they'll try to extend it to their first four-game winning streak of the season later this week against Cincinnati. We'll talk college basketball next. You're listening to the Gary Parrish Show. We're on 92.9 FM ESPN.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin.
Coming up Tuesday, we know Tom Brady is the GOAT, but we'll tell you why Brady might also be top three after the age of 40. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin.
KJZ, weekday mornings from 5 a.m. till 9 a.m. on 92.9 FM ESPN, Memphis' sports station. The shows, Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin. The Jeff Calkins Show. The Jason and John Show. The Giannotto and Jeffrey Show. The Gary Parrish Show. A Radio.com sports station.
92.9 ESPN from Radio.com.
Howie, for Valentine's Day, we always want jewelry, but we expect the chocolate and the roses, too.
Well, at Robert Irwin Jewelers, we've got all three for you. It's been
$99 or more, and you're going to get a free box of chocolates and a dozen roses. If you want a diamond heart necklace and a gold rose, only $149. Plus, you're going to get a dozen roses and a box of chocolates while supplies last.
I don't expect any less from you guys. Why go anywhere else? It's Valentine's Day at Robert Irwin Jewelers.
I don't know. Free financing, 5 locations, or online at rijewelers.com.
This is Gary Parrish reminding you that the Smile Center is where I go to the dentist. It's where my entire family goes to the dentist. And the reason it's great is because the folks there take care of you and they treat you like family. You don't feel like you're going to the dentist. You feel like you're going to see friends. The Smile Center, it's Dr. Maddie Sadeghi's place at 1941 South Germantown Road. And needless to say, they're taking all of the necessary health precautions to keep you and your family safe. They're currently accepting new patients. And for those of you who lost your dental coverage due to COVID-19, the Smile Center has insurance plans available for you and your family. You can get more information by calling 901-309-1333. I trust Dr. Mehdi Sadeghi with my family. You can safely do the same. He's at the Smile Center, 1941 South Germantown Road, Suite 101. That's 901-309-1333. 901-309-1333. It's the Smile Center. On the web, smilecentermemphis.com. Go check the website, smilecentermemphis.com.
DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of UFC, is putting you in the center of this weekend's title fight. Pick either main event fighter to land a punch during UFC 258, and DraftKings Sportsbook will give you 100-1 odds. Just bet $1 on either fighter to land a punch, and if that happens, you'll cash $100. There's no better way to put your MMA knowledge to the test than to put your money where your mouth is with DraftKings Sportsbook. Download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app and use promo code WMFS when you sign up to turn $1 into $100 if either main event fighter lands a punch on Saturday. That's code WMFS. For a limited time, only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older. Tennessee only. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook. New customers only. Restrictions apply. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call or text the Tennessee Red Line. 1-800-889-9789.
At Fisher Investments, we do things differently, and other money managers don't understand why.
Because our way works great for us.
But it may not work for your clients. That's why Fisher Investments is a fiduciary obligated to put clients first. It's the highest standard for a financial advisor.
So what do you provide? Cookie-cutter portfolios like the rest of us?
No cookie-cutter portfolios here. Fisher Investments tailors portfolios to meet each client's goals and needs.
But you do sell investments that earn you high commissions, right? And make commissions when you make trades for your clients?
No. Fisher Investments doesn't sell any commission investment products, and we never earn commissions on trades.
So what's in it for you?
Fisher Investments fees are structured so we do better when our clients do better. When it comes to helping clients achieve a comfortable retirement, we're clearly different. Visit FisherInvestments.com to find out why investors like you switch to us. Fisher Investments, clearly different money management.
Investments in securities.
Getting out of debt can be like climbing a mountain, but Navy Federal can guide you to the top. Start things off with our special intro rate on balance transfers with our Platinum credit card. With rates as low as 5.99%, minimal interest payments, and no annual or balance transfer fees. Conquer your debt in no time with our Platinum credit card. You're one transfer away from financial freedom. Whew. Navy Federal Credit Union. Our members are the mission. 5.99 to 18% variable APRs based on credit worthiness up to $1 cash advance transaction fees at non-Navy Federal ATMs.
Introducing Fidelity Income Planning. We look at how much you've saved, how much you'll need, and help you build a straightforward plan to generate income, even when you're not working. A plan that gives you the chance to grow your savings and create cash flow that lasts. Plus, you can start, stop, or adjust your plan at any time. Talk to us today so we can help you go from saving to living. Fidelity Brokerage Services, member NYSC, SIPC. Let's
go. Guests appear on the Smile Center Hotline. Now, back to the Gary Parrish Show on 92.9 FM ESPN.
The God Killer, this Tokyo and I'm Godzilla. Playing blackjack versus death gun on the car dealer. Just bought a demon, I'm screaming about the car dealer. The last temptation of Mike, but I'm a God tigger. Tell me as a bob that the God don't need a job. And if I did, the oligarchs would be missing, murdered, and robbed. Bonaparte, he paid for Tucson, and they went on a world conquest, tearing your Bonaparte. Michael remained murderous, but still virtuous. Wait to kill the petty, you found out the church services. Not a holy man, but a immoral in my perverseness. So I support the sex workers unionizing their services.
Are you looking for auto insurance, homeowners insurance, life insurance, business insurance? If so, get in touch with Elizabeth Rook Insurance. That's a second-generation local agency, been owned and operated since 1981. If you live in Tennessee, Elizabeth can help you. If you live in Mississippi, Elizabeth can help you. She's a proud partner with Memphis Tigers Athletics. So if you're somebody who likes to support local businesses that support local athletic departments, especially in these trying pandemic times, Elizabeth Rook Insurance is the agency for you. Do you have a good life insurance policy? If not, you need one, especially if you got young ones, loved ones. You wouldn't want something to unexpectedly happen to you, and now you've left your family in an emotional mess, but also a financial bind. You can't do anything about the emotional mess when you're gone, but you can help them avoid the financial mess, and the best way to do it is with a life insurance policy. So if you don't have one, get one. If you don't have one that's good enough, get a better one. Do it with Elizabeth Rook Insurance. Two locations, Memphis area. One is on Canada Road in Lakeland. The other on Highway 51 in Covington. You can reach them at 867-SAVE, 901-867-7283. They're on the web, rookinsurance.com. That's rookinsurance.com. Jeff Calkins will join me a little at the 5 o'clock, but right now, I got four stories I'd like to discuss.
Four notable stories at 4:44. Gary tends to lose focus, start telling stories, and forget what he wanted to talk about at certain points every afternoon. So we've developed a device that ensures he'll touch on important things you need to know each day at this time. This is GP's four notable stories at 4:44. Story number one.
Memphis extended its winning streak to three games on Saturday with a victory over East Carolina. The final score was 66-59. It wasn't that impressive. They only shot 38.5% from the field, 36.4% from three. But it was a win, and because it was a win, it was not a loss. And as we talked about day after day after day last week, the best thing Memphis can do right now isn't go out and sweep Houston. The best thing Memphis can do right now is avoid bad losses, and in this game, they avoided a bad loss. They actually trailed in the second half and had to get some key moments from Alex Lomax and others to actually pull away and make sure they didn't take what would have been a horrific loss at home, because it would have been a quad three loss at home. And in the simplest of terms, I cannot stress this enough, Memphis can't really afford to take bad losses anymore. We did this day after day last week. I won't spend much time on it now, but I'm always interested to go and look at whether it's Joe Lenardi's updated bracket or Jerry Palm's updated bracket or anybody's updated bracket and look at the last teams in the field, more specifically like the first four out, next four out, next four out, because Memphis, on any of these brackets, Memphis is not showing up on the, quote, bubble yet, because it's not on the bubble yet. But if you go to Jerry Palm's bracket, which updated this morning, you can find it at cbssports.com. The last team in the field is North Carolina, after North Carolina beat Duke at Cameron on Saturday night. And then it's the next four out. And the fourth team out of the field right now, according to Jerry Palm, is Wichita State, which is a team in the AAC that Memphis has already beaten and that Memphis will play again next week. And if you go and look at Memphis's resume and Wichita State's resume, the truth is Memphis is better in all of the computers than Wichita State. But where Memphis is not better is the loss column. Wichita State right now only has one loss outside of the first quadrant. You know, Wichita State's record is 9-4 in Division I games, and they've got three of those losses are quad one losses. Only one comes out of the first quadrant. You go to Memphis, and Memphis has six losses total, and four of them have come outside of the first quadrant. That's the difference between Memphis being on the bubble and Memphis not being on the bubble. It's not really the win column. Wichita State's got one quadrant one win. Wichita State's got three wins in the first two quadrants. Memphis has two wins in the first two quadrants. It's not the win column that is a problem for Memphis right now in the minds of bracketologists and, by extension, the selection committee. It's that loss column. Memphis has three quadrant two losses and one quadrant three loss. So you've got to avoid additional losses outside of the first quadrant. And if nothing else, that is what Memphis did on Saturday when it came from behind in the second half and avoided an upset against East Carolina. Now on Thursday, Cincinnati is coming to town. And that sounds bigger because it's Cincinnati, because it's the Bearcats, because it's a traditional historical rival. But here's the truth. In this particular year, Cincinnati ain't much different than East Carolina. Mm-hmm. East Carolina is 139th in the net. Cincinnati's 120th. This will also be a quadrant three game. So are you going to be able to add some signature victory this week if you're Penny Hardaway? No, you're not. But what you can add that will kill you is a quad three loss if you don't take care of business on Thursday. So I know it's a little twisted up to look at it this way, maybe backwards for some. But again, this cannot be overstated. The big games for Memphis right now aren't actually the, quote, big games. I mean, when Houston, we'll get ready for that when it's time to get ready for that. At Wichita State, we'll get ready for that when it's time to get ready for that. But it is almost equally as important, if not entirely as important, for Memphis to avoid bad losses as it is for Memphis to get big wins. In fact, I could actually argue it is more important not to lose to Cincinnati than it is to beat Houston. Like, you losing to Cincinnati would hurt you more than beating Houston would help you, if that makes sense. So Thursday is a massive game. Why? Because there are only two outcomes to a basketball game. You either win it or you lose it. And a loss to a team that would qualify as a quadrant three loss on your home floor would be devastating to Memphis's at-large hopes, which are, at this moment, still very much alive.
Story number two.
Fun game inside Rupp Arena on Saturday night. Tennessee beat Kentucky 82-71, and that score isn't really a great summary or indicator of how the game was actually played, because Kentucky was up 10 with 11:58 to go. I mean, Kentucky was up double digits with less than 12 to play on its home floor, and then Tennessee closed on a 34-13 run. 34-13 run over the final 11:58 to win by 11. And what was interesting is the two five-star freshmen balled out. Keon Johnson got 27 points on 16 shots. Jaden Springer got 23. So the five-star freshmen combined for 50. If you're Rick Barnes, that's got to be encouraging, because if you were trying to figure out, like, why isn't Tennessee great? Because, you know, we watched Kentucky be bad, Duke be bad, Carolina be bad, Michigan State be bad. Why isn't Tennessee's not bad to that degree? Like, Tennessee's still ranked. But, like, why hasn't Tennessee lived up to preseason expectations? Picked to win the SEC, but only 6-4 in the SEC. The obvious answer is that the reason they were picked to win the SEC is because you're bringing back a lot of good experienced pieces, and then you're adding two five-star freshmen who are projected one-and-done first-round picks. And they had just not played like it this season. But on Saturday night, they combined for 50. Now, I'm not saying that those dudes got to combine for 50 the rest of the season, because they're not going to. But if they can be two of your best, perhaps your two best offensive players going forward, and now you've got two future NBA players performing for you, scoring for you, then Tennessee becomes a serious Final Four contender again, because they're great defensively, literally ranked number one in the country in adjusted defensive efficiency. The problem for Tennessee is they just haven't been scoring. But now you got these NBA players, these five-star freshmen, one-and-dones, popping off like this. Now you got something. Rick Barnes, after the game, you know, Tennessee had a lot of practice time while games had been postponed or canceled, and he said that the practice time just really allowed the freshmen to get more comfortable, and now he's ready to turn them loose. Early in the season, they were barely playing, coming off the bench. Now they're starting. Keon Johnson got 28 minutes against Kentucky. Jaden Springer got 35. And now that Tennessee team looks more like what we thought Tennessee would look like. And that is a legitimate Final Four, maybe even national championship contender. For Kentucky, same thing as always. They can't shoot. They shot 23.5% from three. They're now shooting 29.8% from three on the season. That ranks 306th. Nationally, they're 5-12 overall, 4-6 in the SEC. They're 80th in the net, 3-12 in the first two quadrants. Kentucky about to have its first losing seasons since 1989.
Story number three.
Kansas fell out of the AP poll for the first time since February 1st, 2009 today, which is incredible. Think about that. How do you have a top 25 team for 231 consecutive weeks?
Yeah, that's unbelievable.
I mean, with all of the, You know, there have been years where Bill Self lost his entire starting lineup.
Right.
And they net for 231. By the way, that is an NCAA record. No team has ever been ranked 231 consecutive weeks. Even when John Wooden had that incredible UCLA run, won all those national titles, there was not 231 consecutive weeks of UCLA appearing in the AP poll. So Bill Self just did something John Wooden never did, and something John Calipari's never done, and something Mike Krzyzewski's never done, and something nobody's ever done, 231 consecutive weeks of being ranked in the AP poll. But it's over now, and as I wrote CBS Sports yesterday, it should be over. Kansas is 6-7 in the first two quadrants. Like, I don't have any team in my top 25-1 that's under 500 in the first two quadrants. Kansas 6-7 right now. So doesn't deserve to be ranked, but they're not awful. They're just not great. They're not what we're used to watching when we watch Kansas. All seven losses that they have are in the first quadrant. All seven losses are to likely NCAA tournament teams. Six of the seven losses are away from home. Two of the losses are to Gonzaga, Baylor, like the teams that are ranked first and second in the country, combined 35-0. The problem for Kansas is that they are 2-6 in their last eight games. They haven't beaten a good team in nearly a month. The last two losses at West Virginia, at Tennessee, have come by an average of 15.5 points. So they deserve to drop out of these rankings. But, you know, they're still top 20 in Sagarin, top 30 at KenPom and the net and BPI. They're still 26th in strength of record. So, again, they're not bad. They're just not great. And if you're trying to figure out, so why did this happen? How did this happen now? I think it's a few different things. One is the schedule has been tough. You know, like, again, they're 2-6 in their last eight, but all six losses are to teams that are going to be in the NCAA tournament. So it's been a rough stretch in terms of the schedule. Some of it is the pandemic. I mean, there's just no way you're going 2-6 in a stretch of games when you've got Allen Fieldhouse filled up 16,300. Mm-hmm. But now that home court advantage that is worth so much isn't there. We've seen that at Cameron Indoor. We've seen it at Rupp Arena. You know, those buildings really do get you 6 to 8 to 10 points on some nights, and not having that is a real thing. And then the other obvious thing is the roster. You know, Kansas lost its top two players last season, Devon Dotson and Udoka Azubuike. They're both in the NBA now.